The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
It was a howl of a finish for the Arizona Coyotes, but with a side dish of a salty lake of tears for their fans. The Coyotes win their final game 5-2 over the Edmonton Oilers. They will play in Salt Lake City next season. The Oilers drop to 49-26-6. They end their regular season tomorrow in Denver against the Colorado Avalanche. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight, 8 minutes before 11. Along with Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Well, and they're just continuing to show some scenes here on Sportsnet after the game. The Coyotes players lingering on the ice. I think Clayton Keller is going to give all his sticks away. I wonder if anybody gives it, just says, here's my jersey.
I was waiting to see a jersey, but I have noticed they've been giving equipment out to the fans. It's amazing the emotions in a lot of the fans. They're showing a lot of adults, kids, all crying in the stands. It's there weren't enough Arizona Coyote fans, but the ones they had were very diehard.
Yeah.
And those are the ones you feel for. And again, we talked it before, Austin Matthews, is he going to be that hockey player in the National Hockey League scoring 69 goals if there's not a Coyote team for him to cheer for when he's growing up?
Yeah. It's, you know, and again, and I'm guilty of it, poking fun at the franchise over the years and the lack of attendance, and then a 5,000-seat, well, not even, what they say, 4,600-seat arena and all that kind of stuff. But you're right. There are people who care.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't have to be the number one team in town. And they were showing people in tears on television, and clearly, you know, couples or families that went to games together, and that was, you know, that was their time. That was their out. I mean, I've told the story often. I've had Eskimo/Elks season tickets since 1997, and that's something I do with my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking there's probably some family, you know, that they're not going to get to go anymore.
You probably didn't hear it. You had left the room at that point, or you were on with Bob. They when Gene interviewed the lady that was that dropped the puck at the beginning of the game.
Oh, no, I was here.
Oh, that's right. Talked about how this was a family event where the family would all go to the games together. They'd fight over who got tickets to which games, but it was part of their life. And I'm sure that if you go around Edmonton, you will find thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of fans with the same passion for the Oilers. Now, the Arizona Coyotes don't have as many, but it doesn't mean they're less passionate. So if you imagine what it would be like for Edmontonian fans or Oiler fans if all of a sudden tomorrow the Oilers were moving to Utah or to Houston, as at one point there was talk of, how that would be a gut wrench for a lot of people. Well, it's unfortunately for these Arizona Coyote fans, they're losing their team, and it's too bad that it didn't work there, but it's eventually something had to happen because it literally didn't work there.
And I guess that's the thing where I'm kind of conflicted tonight, because I do feel for a lot of individual people who work in the arena, mm-hmm. who cover the team, support staff with the team, whether you're with, you know, ticket sales, corporate sales, media relations, whatever, they might not go. They might not be able to go. They might have to look for work. So I feel for that on the individual level. But again, on a league level, it was a constant ongoing story, all for the wrong reasons. Because, well, almost the entire time they were there, well, what's going on with the arena? Are enough people going? Are they competitive enough? Because they never really had a great team. I guess when Tippett coached, was their best team.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess from a league, and as you and I both care about the NHL and hockey in general, from the point of having 32 franchises that all look like big league franchises playing in big league facilities, when you turn on the TV, it is better that they're going somewhere else.
It is. There's a lot of players that are playing on this Arizona Coyote team that played in front of more fans in college and junior when they were playing in the National Hockey League.
Dylan Gunther.
For one, yeah. So, and I talked to a few of the other players earlier in the year, and they said that the first time they went there, was it was neat, a novelty. And then the second time they went there, okay, Seriously, mm-hmm. we're in the National Hockey League. This is not where we should be playing. I hope Salt Lake is better. I've played in Salt Lake, against Salt Lake in the minors when they're the Utah Grizzlies. I never, ever thought of it as a hockey town. I know they got fantastic ownership, and I hope he makes it work there. That's the biggest thing. They got stability and an ownership, but I'm not sure that this... I hope it works, but I'm not sold that that is a hockey town that's going to embrace what I consider the greatest sport in the world.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, clearly, you know, they got the Jazz there, and really any part of the states, you're competing with some NCAA team, whether it's the football team or the basketball team or both in some markets. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But the Coyotes get the 5-2 victory tonight. And really, Rob, in terms of what happened between the boards, I mean, the Oilers were okay. they hung around, but the game meant more to the Coyotes, and I think that showed for most of the night.
Yeah, the Coyotes played with emotion. They played with an intensity. I think the Oilers, their work ethic was fine. Their attention to detail, I don't think was great. If you look at, they gave up four goals with a goalie in net against an Arizona team that's well out of the playoffs. There was a physicality from Arizona that we didn't see from the Oilers. It's hard to play in an absolutely nothing game when your mind is on your first round of the playoffs, who you're going to be playing against, and trying to get it through without injury, because you're like, okay, I don't want to take a puck in the foot here. I don't want to get a hit the wrong way in this hockey game and miss an important game. The one thing that you want to play is you want to play smart hockey. And you want to stay within your structure and system. For the most part, the Oilers did, but there were breakdowns, mm-hmm. and the breakdowns cost them. Arizona's a good hockey club for the future. They've got a ton of skill. We saw that tonight. But in this game, through 60 minutes, the Arizona Coyotes were the better hockey club on the ice.
5-2, the final in favor of the Coyotes. Let's hear from Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch. He's at the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. FlyEIA.com/nonstop.
Throughout the game,
I thought we were pretty good in the first period. Unfortunate play on the first goal against off the referee, set up a breakaway. And, I thought we responded well after that goal against. And, I think turning points were, not being able to score on the power play. Just then we were chasing it from there.
Would you say not so much the score, but the way the night went, a little bit to be expected, knowing what was kind of going on over there, that they're sort of playing for their lives and the end of their life here, compared to your team thinking a little bit further down the road and hoping that they're more prepared for the playoffs?
Yeah, you always, it's tough. You always talk about getting up for the game and getting ready for an emotional one. They're going to come out hard, and let's go get it. But, we're coming off a big win at home, and we're also looking forward to the playoffs. And, I think the guys' hearts were in it. I think they executed okay. I don't think there was poor plays with the puck, throwing pucks out blind, not working hard. It just wasn't a total engagement, and they just weren't able to. I think we played okay, and maybe we win some of those games playing like that, but tonight wasn't our night.
What did you think of Philip Broberg stepping in? Difficult circumstances, as you said, considering the situation, and how did you feel that he played?
Yeah, I thought he played really well. He moved the puck well, left a few times. He skated the puck out, which is great that he has the confidence to do that. And then defensively, with his long reach and good skate, he broke up a lot of plays, so we're very impressed. He hasn't played in the NHL for quite some time, but I thought it was a very good game.
Warren Fogel hits the 20 goal mark for the first time in his NHL career. What can you say about what you see from Warren day in and day out, and what he brings in every game?
A lot of tenacity, work ethic. For him to get to 20 goals, that's quite an accomplishment, and obviously the team was very happy for him that he hit that milestone. And just a guy that works really hard and gets rewarded with some goals, and something he he's really good at is just scoring. Well, tonight he scored off the rush, but so good down low in the offensive zone, taking the puck to the net, and you know, it was nice to see him get rewarded with that goal.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
That's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch after a 5-2 loss to the Coyotes. Yes, the goal scorer Sam Carrick on a great feed from Matthias Ekholm, and then Fogle got his 20th of the season, so a nice moment for him. Gave the Oilers a little bit of life with 11:59 left. They were down 3-2. Dylan Gunther sniped one on the power play with 5:33 to go. Knobloch pulled Pickard with 5:12 left, and Durzi got an empty netter with 4:15 left. Two things I want to talk about there, the things I just mentioned in the final 6 minutes. First of all, the Gunther goal.
We were talking about him between periods. I've had Dylan since he was a U15 hockey player, and I remember NAX brought me out as a skills coach, and I went on the ice. They said, okay, work with these young players. Matty Savoy was another of the players that was out there, so I went out and started shooting pucks with Dylan Gunther. I said, okay, I'm going to work with you. Let's see what you got first. And he started shooting. I'm like, okay, you go work in that, and I'm going to work with the other kids because you can already shoot better than me, kid. And then we always put a goalie in, and I let them have a five-shot kind of a shootout with the players, and I always play the winner. So, okay, Dylan, you get the opportunity to play against me. All right, you get first. You go five shots first. And he went 5 for 5. And I'm like, okay, seriously, I'm done. I'm like, I'm not even going to try and embarrass myself. He had a National Hockey League shot when he was 14 years old. And we saw that tonight on the power play. That kid is going to score in the National Hockey League. He's going to score a lot of goals. He had, I believe he finished this year, 18 goals in 45 games.
Yeah.
That's a 35-goal season right there if he plays the whole year. He is good. And it's a good kid from the Edmonton area. That's one if you're a fan of the Oilers, but you're also a fan of hockey, follow the career of Dylan Gunther. He's going to be a very nice hockey player in the National Hockey League for many, many years.
And then down 2 goals, a very early pull from Chris Knobloch. Like I said, 5:12 to go. I don't mind that. I mean, we're going into the playoffs. You know, who knows? And I mean, especially in the postseason, there's no goal differential. There's no who cares about plus-minus stats or what. I mean, maybe in the playoffs you're down 4 with 9 minutes left. You know, I think Knobloch was kind of saying, I might do it, guys. Like be ready. I'm going to give you a chance to get one and get back in it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's twofold. One, let's work on something. It's a nothing game. Let's pull our goalie, work on our 6-on-5, see what we can do out there. And also an early pull, they weren't down 1. They were down 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to need to score 2 goals when we pull our goalie. See if we can get 1 now, get a rest. We'll put another line out. Then we'll get our big guys out there again. They had opportunities, had a couple good looks. But again, this was a Coyote team that sold out. And on the empty net goal, they had 4 guys in front of the net. And Durzi's the one. He blocks the shot and then gets it all the way down. So the care level from the Coyotes was higher than the Oilers tonight, and it should be. The Oilers trying just to play through the game. The Coyotes came out and tried to play for the fans, and they did that. So it sucks that the Oilers don't win if you're an Oilers fan, but if you're a fan of the game, it's kind of a nice way for the Arizona Coyotes to repay the fans that were there tonight with a big victory.
5-2 Arizona wins it. Let's look at the scoreboard here for Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. The Lightning beat the Maple Leafs 6-4. Nikita Kucherov becomes the 5th player ever and 2nd this season to get 100 assists in a season. Austin Matthews stalls at, well, that's not really a fair word, ends the season at 69 goals. I shouldn't call it a stall after he scored 69 in a year, but he was firing for 70 tonight. Couldn't quite get it. The Islanders beat the Penguins with a dramatic finish. Sidney Crosby had a penalty shot to tie it with 30 seconds left and was stopped. And Dallas beat St. Louis 2-1 in a shootout. So Dallas will finish first in the West. They will play either L.A. or Vegas. Edmonton will play either L.A. or Vegas. Vancouver, Nashville is now locked in. Winnipeg, Nashville was already locked in. So, well, the confirmed series tonight is Vancouver, Nashville. Edmonton and Dallas opponents will be determined tomorrow, depending on how the Kings and Golden Knights do.
Wouldn't it be nice if the National Hockey League said, hey, Reed and Rob, we know who six of the series are now. We know who two of the series are in the Western Conference. We're going to send out a note right now and let you know how game one is going to be in those two series. That would give us a better idea when our Oilers would start. So, Gary Bettman,
yeah,
if you are listening right now to our show, because you probably are, could you please release some playoff dates so we fans of Edmonton Oilers can find out which nights we are going to be staying up late cheering on our team?
Probably won't happen that way, Rob, but I appreciate your optimism. But there is a partial playoff schedule out, and I mean very partial. What would it be? 1/14th of the first round, because it's 1/7th of the East, so that makes it.
Did they only put the first games out?
Yeah, they only put the first games out. Saturday at 3 o'clock Mountain Time, all the times here I'll give will be the Edmonton time. 3 o'clock Saturday, Islanders at Carolina, 6 o'clock Toronto at Boston. Sunday, 10:30 a.m., Tampa Bay at Florida, 1 p.m., Washington at the Rangers. So those are the first games of the series in the Eastern Conference. That's what was announced today. Okay. Oh, I just got an email from the NHL. Hang on. Oh, I think it's just the regular nightly recap. Stars clinched and Kucherov, 100 assists. Everything we're talking about.
See, they're listening to us.
First round series to be determined.
Nothing about the Oilers starting on Sunday?
No.
Well, apparently they're not listening right now.
Yeah, two potential matchups still to be determined. I don't see.
Well, the one thing that we do know that is the Vancouver. I always look at the playoffs as four team tournaments to see who wins that to move on to the conference finals. Well, the Oilers know in their four team little tournament, three of the teams will be Edmonton, Vancouver, and Nashville.
Yeah.
So they'll either have Vegas or L.A. in the first round, and then the second round, if the Oilers win their first round, they will play either the Vancouver Canucks.
That's right.
Or the Nashville Predators, as the Nashville Predators are the first wildcard team, and the Vancouver Canucks are the second best team in the Western Conference through 82 games.
So, and that's why some people criticize this format, is because of the potential for travel. I mean, Nashville... Nashville's like as far east as you can get in the central time zone.
I think I worked it. I thought I put it up. It was like 4,100 miles away from Vancouver because I was bored earlier. And I was.
That seems like a lot.
I thought, well, I'll look again. And it is. To drive there, it would take you 1 hour and 12 days, or 1 day and 12 hours.
It's non-stop.
4,116 kilometers. That's how far.
Okay, so kilometers.
Kilometers.
That's far. Yeah, so anyway, now they travel on planes, and there's always a day between games at least. But that again, that's why some people criticize the format because, well, let's keep it in your division. Oh, except when there's a wild card team, which is a disadvantage to the higher seed. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. You can get us at 780-496-0063. That is the hotline powered by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way. Well, let's bring Jesse in here. I don't know, maybe he's not. Is this late for you or not, Jesse? 10 after 11.
No, it's not too late. I'm out here in Saskatchewan, so we're good.
Now, currently you guys are on the same time as us, right?
Yeah, we're 11:09 right now as I'm speaking to you.
Right, it's during most of the winter we're an hour behind. Okay.
Yeah, and I thought spring was on its way until today and we got all this snow.
Oh,
yeah.
Did it snow there too?
Oh, God, we got her good.
Oh, geez, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, so bear with me. I got a real quick story. I'm 52 years old. 30 years ago, I played on a hockey team. We were doing something special back then, you know, that we thought was good. Anyways, long story short, I was a player that was helping the team, but yet I was a problem. I had a teammate of mine come up to me, literally look me in the eye and say, hey, either get on the program or F off. And then he said, do you understand what I'm saying? Get on the program or F off. I'm like, okay. So what I'm getting at tonight is I've noticed that Evander Kane has not played a couple games. I see Dylan Holloway really stepping up. And I'm wondering from your guys' point of view, are we at a point right now where either Kane gets on the program or Holloway's getting in the lineup? I mean, I'm not trying to cause a controversy here. I'm just asking it on.
No, I don't think you are as well, because we've talked about Kane and the situation with Perry. And I've said that there's baggage with this player. Whether it's relevant to what's happening now, it is part of the overall story of the player. Now, do I think he's going to be replaced for the first game of the playoffs if healthy? I would doubt that personally.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he will be. But let's start with Holloway. Holloway's playing excellent. Mm-hmm. He has been fantastic since his recall. And I've said all year long that to me Holloway is a less angry Evander Kane. He plays with speed. He's physical. He's good on the forecheck. He creates with his forecheck. He creates with his physicality. And he's had some finish since he's come back up. He just doesn't have the experience of playoff hockey that Evander Kane has. If Dylan Holloway plays in the playoffs, to me, I believe he has to play in the top nine. And then you start looking, well, who can you pull out of the top nine? Who is he going to take the place of? Now, Evander Kane has played better of late. The last three or four games, he's been good before he left with whatever he's out with. I do believe that Holloway has put his name into the mix of a player that's capable of playing for the Oilers in game one. My guess, if Evander Kane is healthy, Kane will be in and Holloway will be a healthy scratch. But I do believe Holloway will play at some point in the first round, and I think he's earned that right with the play of with his play over the last four games.
Yeah, and we'll see if Kane plays tomorrow. So Adam Ernie and Sam Gagner have been called up. Kane and Derek Ryan with the team didn't play today. So I would think Kane...
Well, we don't know about Kane because wrong with him.
We think Ryan, Ernie, and Gagne play.
Well, you don't call them up if they're not
right.
playing.
Right, so yes. That means Draisaitl, McDavid, and one of Nugent Hopkins or Hyman doesn't play. If Kane plays, neither
Both,
one
yeah.
of them plays.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. And I believe that Ekholm and Bouchard will probably sit out the game tomorrow. Nurse and CeCe will come back in, and you give Broberg and Stetcher another game.
Yep.
Tomorrow it'll be a who's not playing as opposed to who is playing, because I would imagine Colorado will do the same thing. I don't think you'll see Rantanen. I don't think you'll see McKinnon. I don't think you'll see Makar. Probably not Taves.
Yep.
The game means nothing for either team. No one really has anything when it comes to do with points or records. So I believe they'll all be sitting out and resting for the playoffs.
Yeah, could be a really... I mean, today's game was kind of different to watch. There was the Arizona storyline. Tomorrow's game could be really interesting to watch.
Well, tomorrow will look like not quite as much, but a late exhibition season game, with the number of players that are probably out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. It'll be kind of cool for the players in, because they're going to get, all of a sudden, the Oilers' power play might have zero guys that are regularly on their power play playing. So now you're going to have five new guys.
That's a good point, yeah.
Because their whole power play will be out. So,
yeah, potentially.
So whatever the second unit is, it's going to be five guys that have not played on the power play this year. So it'll be interesting. And I imagine Colorado will do the same thing. As Colorado already knows, they're playing in Winnipeg to start their playoff series. So these games are tough. Today was tough, but there was the excitement and the emotion of the Arizona's last game. Tomorrow will be weird, because the game is, it's almost one that you hope there's a snowstorm if you're both teams, so that the game gets canceled. And all this, that way you know that both teams will be a little more rest and no injuries will come about. But it will be one that the players that are playing will have there will be effort, there will be intensity, there will be emotion, because those are players a little further down the pecking order,
yeah,
and trying to prove their worth. There'll be guys trying to play themselves into a playoff conversation. So it'll be fun that way, but it will be two completely different lineups. I remember we talked about this 3 weeks ago, the excitement, the last game of the season. It could mean to have playoff implications. It could have the two guys, McKinnon and McDavid, fighting for the scoring title and possibly the Hart Trophy. And now it's like, yeah, okay, none of those guys are going to be in the lineup. They'll all be up in the press box. So if you want to get some really good autographs, stand by the press box door tomorrow night.
That's where
all the best
players. That's where all the stars are going to be. We set the line today based on which team scored the final goal in Mullet Arena for River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement bet on it. Red took the Coyotes, so he gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. We will get to more phone calls, and you'll hear from Calvin Pickard and Warren Fogle, who got his 20th goal of the season tonight. Oilers lose 5-2 in Arizona. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Right to Keller. Loops back at his own blue line. Keller into the Oiler end. Now on the left for Schmaltz. Out to Keller and shot, and a save made by Pickard. He covers it up. Clayton Keller.
That is Calvin Pickard's save of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310-GLASS or visit crystalglass.ca. However, Pickard takes the loss tonight. He was beaten four times. The Coyotes also got an empty netter and a 5-2 win over the Oilers. So Pickard's record now 12-7-1 for the season. Here he is.
Calvin, when a team has that much of, you know, emotions coming into a game like that, how do you adjust accordingly and kind of settle into a game like that?
Try and match it. Obviously, we knew what we were going to get in terms of them being fired up, you know, playing in front of their fans tonight. So it wasn't a great start for us with that bounce for the breakaway, but I thought we settled in. You know, give them credit. They played pretty good, made some good plays. Their skill kind of went to work on a few of those goals. So, you know, we'll learn from it. Obviously, we want to be playing the right way going into the playoffs. Another chance tomorrow.
From your point of view, does this game stand out and is it different? Does it feel different than other games that you've played in?
I guess so. I mean, I've never played in this building before, and it's obviously a lot different than the rest in the NHL. So, it was a cool atmosphere to be a part of. You know, I spent some time with Arizona a few years back, and, you know, I have nothing but good things to say about the organization. And, you know, I love my time here, but, you know, it was unfortunate we couldn't get the win, but we're moving on in a while.
This being the first half of a back-to-back Colorado tomorrow, what is it that you want your team to be able to bring in that you saw tonight that you liked that you want them to bring in tomorrow?
Yeah, obviously these games are a little bit tougher. Obviously, we know where we stand going into the playoffs, and you know, just little habits, you know, doing the right things because you know, playoffs are right around the corner.
I wanted to ask you, with the idea that Stewart would start versus Colorado to wrap up the regular season, how do you feel about the way the regular season has gone for you, and how playoff ready are you if and when needed?
Yeah, no, I'm very happy with the way the season went for sure. You know, it was a good body of work. Obviously not, you know, my best game along the road tonight, but I can't forget about all the good things that have gone on this year as a team also. You know, it was an emotional game, obviously, for them over there, and you know, they deserve to win. But yeah, no, I'm happy with the season, but we're just getting going.
That is Calvin Pickard, who, yeah, pretty good year for him overall, Rob. I mean, a 912 save percentage coming into tonight, that'll probably dip a little bit, but thrust into that position when Campbell went down, and again, I mean, 12-7-1 from your backup goalie.
Well, your third string goalie, actually.
Yeah.
So, no, it was a good season. Not the ending that he wanted, obviously, but I think the Oilers feel pretty confident going into the playoffs with their goaltending. I think Stuart Skinner's been well rested over the last little bit because Pickard had played so well. They didn't have to worry about a big jump down in level of play. So Skinner this year going into the playoffs should be well rested. I think it's a good idea him playing tomorrow night against Colorado. That way he doesn't have a full week between games. He'll get a game in and he'll be well rested and ready to take his second shot at the National Hockey League playoffs.
5-2, the Oilers lose. James H. Brown injury lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Fill in the net with $100 to 630 Ched. Send us anonymous every time the Oilers score. So a $200 donation tonight will give you the final total for the regular season after tomorrow's game against the Colorado Avalanche. We have Tony on the Certainty Hotline. Tony, go ahead.
I have a question for you boys because I already know there's going to be doom or gloomers about tonight's game. How much of a emphasis would you put on this game? Was it just Arizona knowing final game here, we're moving to Utah, Edmonton just saying, you know what, we're trying to stay healthy, to get into the playoffs, this game doesn't really mean as much as it does for Arizona.
Well, all those things are correct. Now, obviously, the Oilers were trying to win as they were trying to win the last game against Arizona. And who are the other team that the Oilers just lost to just recently?
Well, Vancouver.
Vancouver. So, I mean, you'd prefer to go into the playoffs on a winning streak. You prefer to be playing your best hockey. The Oilers have had a couple of hiccups as of late. They've had some injury problems, but all teams do. I think, as a fan, there's always worries, but I do believe this team is completely confident with themselves going into this first round, whether it be LA or Vegas, and they feel good about themselves. So this will be one they just wipe from the memory bank. Tomorrow will be a game that will be played without a lot of non-regulars, and the real games will start next week. And the Oilers go into the game against Vegas or LA and they win game one. No one's going to remember about the two losses to Arizona in the last week and a half of the season.
Yeah. And I mean, again, give Arizona credit.
Yeah, 100%.
They went out and played, and they have some skill. And they're going to be interesting to watch. And the one thing I said, Rob, talking about them both today and a few days ago, I said, well, you know, they're going to need to shore up positions. And I mentioned goaltending, and then you made a good point with me. You said, you're like, don't sell Connor Ingram short here.
Yeah, he's good. And I can't remember what it is, but he was one of the had one of the most number of...
He's got six shutouts
on the season. So I do believe this is a team that's going to be better in the future. They've got, I mean, their first line already with Keller and Schmaltz is very, very good. Mm-hmm. They got a second line that's come with Dylan Gunther, who, again, 18 goals in only 45 games this season, and he's playing with Logan Cooley, who's going to be a fantastic hockey player as well. They got Nick Bjugstad as a third line, kind of a veteran presence. They got that Durzi on the back end, who's young. It's the youngest team in the National Hockey League, and they are highly skilled. So this is... Utah isn't getting an expansion team. The last few new teams in the National Hockey League have been expansion teams.
Right.
They got a head start on some of these other teams because they got some really good hockey players. They got a lot of draft picks coming up, and they have a lot of money to spend. They are very low on the salary cap with a lot of these guys being on their first contracts. So this is a team that I believe will compete for a playoff spot next year. I don't know if they'll get one, but I do believe they're good enough to compete for one. So, and the full deserving of the two wins they had this week against the Edmonton Oilers, or in the last week and a bit against the Edmonton Oilers. They played well in both those games. So I don't think, as a fan, I'm overly concerned going into the playoffs because of these losses. But I do think that the Oilers do have to play much better come game one than they have in a number of the games down the stretch.
Whenever the Oilers score five or more in a game, we turn on the Japanese Village Goal Light on 630ched.com. That would allow you to print up a coupon for a free appetizer at Japanese Village. Save $10 on all certified Angus beef New York steak dinners. For details, visit jvedmonton.ca. Okay, you'll hear from Warren Fogle, who reached a milestone tonight. Oilers drop a 5-2 decision to the Coyotes. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
To find Fogle down the right side, in over the line, cuts in the middle. His shot scores! What a blast by Warren Fogle! And the Oilers cut the Coyote lead to 3-2.
Well, that would be the final goal for the Oilers on the road against the Arizona Coyotes. They lose 5-2 tonight. It is a milestone, though, for Fogle. Gets his 20th of the season. Here he is.
Yeah, I think maybe in a few days or maybe near the end of the year, you probably reflect more on, you know, this being the last time playing in this arena and in this city. You know, obviously, it's a bit unfortunate. I know we enjoy, you know, coming out here, but... You know, it is what it is. But for us, obviously, disappointed we didn't get the win. I thought Picks played a hell of a game. You know, I just thought we didn't want it as much as them, obviously, and it kind of showed tonight.
How tough of a game was it? Because you knew the fans would be into it, but they seemed highly motivated to finish this off in a way that, you know, they'd like to send everyone away with a victory.
Yeah, for sure. We're as professionals, we're supposed to show up and work hard and do all the right things, and it just wasn't there tonight. Obviously, we're focused on, you know, better things in the sense that we're gearing up for the playoffs, and we got a back-to-back. We don't want any injuries and stuff like that. So, it's one of those games you kind of just burn the tape and, just try to play the right way tomorrow.
I remember you talking about the 20-goal plateau, and you started with the team and said that's most important. But, of course, somewhere in there it would be nice to reach 20 goals. Now that you've done it, what do you think?
Yeah, it's one, it's a little bit weird talking about it considering we just lost, but the guys are unbelievable. Even just here after the game we lost, I got a couple guys congratulating me, and obviously the team's more important, but just to hear that goes a long way. It's been a lot of fun playing here, and obviously couldn't have done it without my teammates and my coaches who push me every day, but also, my family and my friends back home who, just my support team that, always just helped me get through every day, I guess. So obviously special, but, I think we're all ready to, focus on the number one prize, and that's the Stanley Cup.
That's Warren Fogel, who's our fourth star tonight for Jandell Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. O'Brien, the third star. Gunther, the second star. Krause, the first star. So all Coyotes, but we'll give Fogel the fourth star. I mean, good milestone for him. He was looking for that hat trick and the 20th goal against San Jose. But overall, I mean, he's had a good season.
He's had a very good season. I was looking. Evander Kane, 24 goals, 44 points. Warren Fogel, 20 goals, 41 points, so very similar to Evander Kane, who most consider a top six forward here and a big part of the Oilers' offensive machine. And Warren Fogel's come in, and I think he was pegged as a third line guy, and he's very good as a third line player. But when he's been asked upon to move up the lineup and play with Leon Draisaitl, he's played well. He's got great speed.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more creative with the puck than I had expected. He's got a heavy shot. And you can tell, again, we there's been a lot of individual efforts that we in the National Hockey League the last few days, and we're all talking about it. Everyone knows what the grand prize is, and that's a Stanley Cup. But individual accomplishments mean something to the player. And
right.
You could hear it in the voice of Warren Fogel. It's hard to talk after a loss, but this is big. And I know 100th assist for Connor McDavid, that's pretty cool. And the 50th goal for Zach Hyman, but not everybody is a superstar in this league. Some of their players are just trying to get through the day and trying to find a new contract and trying to survive in the league. And Warren Fogel's a guy that, every game that he plays, he just wants to get a little bit more ice time so he can play the next game. And he has a 20-goal season. That means a lot. That is a huge milestone for Warren Fogel. And hopefully that's the first of multiple 20-goal scores or 20-goal years for him as an Edmonton Oiler.
5-2, the Coyotes take it. Sean Durzi gets the last goal at Mullet Arena, an empty netter with 4:15 to go. We have Jeff on the Certainty Hotline. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to push back on the first guy that called in. That's a great story for him. It's a ridiculous anecdote. I don't like how the Kane thing's been handled at all. He has no idea whether Evander Kane is on board or off board. Kane's been a beast for the Oilers in the playoffs. Everybody knows that. He's earned his spot. I didn't like Frank Seravalli, Oilers Nation. I didn't even like what Corey Perry did on the bench. So, people got to get rid of this thing. It's not going to help Evander Kane for guys to call in and suggest that he's not on board. It is ridiculous.
Okay, you know what? You can say all those things. That's fine. But you can't say you didn't like what Corey Perry said, because you have no idea what happened.
Yeah, well, if it was me, I would have done it in the dressing room. And
you have no idea what was said between the two of them.
Well, that's fine.
So I have no problem with what Corey Perry did then. I have no problem with Corey Perry.
That's fine. In general, the way it's been handled has been ridiculous. Quit even using the words like baggage. The guy has been nothing. Look at what he's done in the community. Like, just enough already. This guy's a beast. When no one on this team would step up for McDavid or anybody that got pushed around, who did it? Evander Kane. Who was gritty and grimy in the playoffs when they had no one that was gritty and grimy? Evander Kane. So you're right. Watch what experience does. So these people that call in and say he's not on board, what are they? Are they in the dressing room?
We don't know that. But you can't. But you also can't call in and say that he is on board.
Is it good for Frank Zaravelli and Oilers Nation to come out and say, "Hey, this guy's returning to the ways of the past"? Is that?
Well, no, I don't think anyone can say what's going on. That's why I've got no problem with what Corey Perry did, because he's there and in the moment. The rest of us, we have no idea what's being said in the dressing room or what's going on between the players. I do believe that when Evander Kane is engaged, he is a very effective player for the Edmonton Oilers, and they need that come playoff time. But they need that all the time. That's what I don't think Evander Kane has had a consistent year of that. And that's why for a lot of the year he was on the third line. But I think for the Edmonton Oilers to go far in the playoffs, they need Evander Kane to play like he's capable of playing. And I don't know why he's not playing right now. I don't know what the injury is. I don't know if it's maintenance. I don't know if it's worse than maintenance. Because no one's ever going to admit to what's going on so close to the playoffs. I hope that he is healthy and ready to play in game one. Maybe we'll know a little bit tomorrow whether or not he plays in the game. But as far as him being, to me, he's an automatic in game one for the Edmonton Oilers. And Holloway is probably on the outside looking in, but inching closer and closer to being in that lineup with the way he's playing right now.
Yeah, but this is why we take calls. Mm-hmm. Fans don't have to agree. Certainly anybody can express their opinion on any player. We know some players are liked, some aren't, or by different fans for sure. I do think, you know, Jeff mentioned the word baggage. I defend my use of that word, mm-hmm. because when something happens, part of the story is other things that have happened with that player.
Mm-hmm. That's what baggage is.
Or that individual. If 630 Ched hired somebody who had just served 20 years in prison, and then there was a murder in the Ched building, you served 20 years for killing somebody. I'm really getting dark here.
Very dark.
And then somebody was murdered in the Ched building. It would be relevant to the story, saying, "Well, they do employ somebody who's killed somebody before." We're not saying he did it.
Okay,
but this is part of the story.
I'm not around the station near as much as you are.
I don't know why.
Is there someone here that we've hired?
I've been reading a bunch of murder mysteries lately.
Is there something you want to tell me about someone that's in the building? Is he here when I'm here, or she? I don't know. I don't want to be equal.
No, they're not here.
Okay, I feel better then.
I'm actually reading a book right now. I'm going to finish it probably when I go home. It's called Everyone on This Train is a Suspect. It's very good. It's a sequel to the book called Everyone in My Family Has Killed Somebody.
Seriously?
Yes.
I have not read
those. They're good. Jeff, thank you for inspiring me.
To speak out
about these books that I've read.
About the dude that works in marketing here that's got some baggage.
I want to give Jeff an example. And I'm reading a murder mystery book, so that's why I'm talking about murder. It's also 11:40 after game 81.
We still got game 82 to get through. That one might
be... Oh, just wait how twisted it's going to get tomorrow night.
Game 82 is going to be, I think, a little bit harder than game 81.
Jeff's going to be wishing that I was talking about Evander Kane and his baggage.
It'll be interesting to see if Evander Kane does play tomorrow, because it was a maintenance day that he missed the other day, and then he misses this game as well.
Yeah. But I don't think... I will agree with Jeff, because he was reacting to Jesse's call. I don't think Evander Kane is being held out of the lineup as a punishment.
Oh, God, no.
Or as an attitude adjustment.
No.
So, yes, I should.
I think he's got some sort of tweak, and we hope it's just a tweak.
Yeah, I don't think... Yes, I will totally agree with Jeff when he says this isn't being done because Evander's not on board with something, and
no,
they're trying to fix him before the playoffs. No, I think Evander Kane wants to win the Stanley Cup as badly as anybody else on the team.
100%.
All right. Oilers lose 5-2. We have Sean on the Certainty Hotline as well. Sean, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good evening. I just want your honest opinion about the goaltending, because I don't think it's good enough to win a cup.
Well, why do you think that? And what other teams do you think don't have good enough goaltending to win a cup?
Well, I mean, I mean, everyone knows there's only four or five stellar goalies in the league.
Yep.
And most teams don't have one. And the best backup seems to be Quick with the Rangers.
Well, he was a backup that wasn't good enough in the Western Conference. That's why he went out there. He's a good backup because he has a great team in front of him.
Right. Well, plus he's got the experience, too, and he was the number one for a long time. But just so many times during the year, Skinner or...
Pickard.
Or Pickard. Thank you.
Yep.
They let in a couple of easy goals. I mean, you know, the first, a half dozen shots of the game. And the guys are always trying to claw their way back. Well, they can't do that in the playoffs.
Okay, but you didn't answer my question. Which other teams are you writing off as not having good enough goaltending?
I don't follow a lot of other teams. I catch the
online. Okay, I'm going to push back on you, Sean. If you're comparing the Oilers' goaltending relative to other teams, you must have information about better goaltenders.
I got no information. All I know is that the guys let in goals too easily most of the time.
I see. Now, I'll disagree on that one. Stuart Skinner's had a fantastic year. He's ever since the first month of the season, he's been excellent. I think that the Oilers' goaltending is better this year going into the playoffs than it was last year. I think Stuart Skinner now has the experience of having played in the playoffs. I think Stuart Skinner is much more rested. Now, is he good enough to backstop the Oilers to a Stanley Cup? Well, time will tell. But in the Western Conference, I think there are three or four teams that got fantastic goaltending. But last year, the Vegas Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup with their four-string goalie, who wouldn't have been playing if the first three guys didn't get hurt. I don't think anyone would have expected Adin Hill to win a Stanley Cup and be the backbone of a team that won a Stanley Cup. So
yeah, I don't know how Skinner's going to play in the playoffs.
Nope.
Was he the only reason they lost last year? No.
Nope.
Was he great in the playoffs? No.
Nope.
But again, I don't write somebody off into eternity because he failed to do something once.
I think Skinner's good enough. I honestly do. Time will tell. We're going to see right away. But Skinner had a very good season this year. He's played well down the stretch. He's given them a chance. He's given them quality starts. I don't know if they're going to play Vegas or L.A. in the first round. If they play L.A. in the first round, the Oilers, to me, have the advantage in net. So... in Vegas right now, Adin Hill's just coming back from injury, and he's struggled a little bit since he's come back. But we will find out more about Stuart Skinner, the playoff goalie, coming up very, very quickly. But I don't think there's concerns in the Edmonton Oilers dressing room about their goaltending. I think they are very confident in what they have. And if their injuries do beset them, they've got two goaltenders that have played very, very well down in the minors.
Yeah, I don't know. Is Sean still there, Kellen? Yeah, I really got to be honest here, man. Like, I don't know what you're basing your information on. Like, quite frankly, I think you've decided that Stuart Skinner isn't a good enough goaltender, and you're just cherry picking evidence that demonstrates that. Like giving up a bad goal early in a game. Like, name the goal. And saying it happens over and over again. Well, then give me multiple examples. And again, look around the league. Goals go in all the time. Goals go in that maybe should have been stopped. The Oilers scored first 43 times this year, so a little more than half.
Again, I have no concerns about Stuart Skinner going into the playoffs as their goaltender. We'll find out in 1 or 2
months.
Well,
we'll find out. I mean, that's the thing, and I'm sure Sean will be the first one to call if Skinner has a bad playoff game. But I don't understand from some people the hatred of Stuart Skinner. I really don't. I mean,
I like him.
I
to me, he's a very likable guy.
Do I think he's the best goalie who's ever lived? No, but like, let's not treat him like he's a scrap heap goalie, because he isn't.
No, he's the goalie of the future for the Edmonton Oilers, and they got another kid down the minors, Rodrigue, that's going to come up here, maybe not next year, the year after, and that'll be your tandem going forward. But there, every team going into the playoffs has question marks. There's no perfect team. The last perfect team going into the playoffs were the Boston Bruins last year, and they lost in the first round.
They looked close to perfect.
So they, I mean, they were deep everywhere, including goaltending, and they lost in the first round. So NHL playoffs, there's nothing like it, and I can't wait for it to start. We just have to find our way through a game tomorrow night, and then we can start talking about who the Oilers are going to play in the first round, and then we can start talking about matchups and how the Oilers match up in all the different positions.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll find out tomorrow who they're going to play. Power play update tonight. Dylan Gunther, the former Oil King, got the only power play goal of the game for Conlon Motorsports. He'll help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' four locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. So Arizona 1-for-2. The Oilers 0-for-2 on the power play. Not overly dangerous with the power play tonight.
No, it was a little quiet tonight. Well, I think the Oilers in general were a little quiet tonight.
All right, so our next game broadcast is tomorrow, presented by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers, 6 o'clock for the face-off show. The game will start at 7:30, Oilers at the Avalanche. Get more on this game on 630chet.com or globalnews.ca. Thanks to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer this evening. Coyotes win their last game in Arizona, 5-2 over your Edmonton Oilers. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.